Lipcast Slovakia, the podcast about Slovak literature in English. Welcome to Lipcast Slovakia 26. My name is Julia Sherwood, and my guest today is Tunde Mészáros, who translates from Slovak into Hungarian. Tunde Mészáros grew up in Bratislava and studied in Prague at Charles University. She now lives in Budapest with her husband, the translator Peter Böserményi, and their two daughters. She focuses mainly on contemporary Slovak fiction and has translated works by Veronika Šikulová, Daniela Kapitáňová, Pavol Rankov, Peter Balkov, Ondrej Štefánik, Sylvester Lavrík, and Tomáš Forró, among others. Hello, Tunde. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine. Are you all right?
Welcome to Litcast, and let me start with my first question. You grew up in Bratislava, a city that used to be trilingual, and the Slovak language was actually in the minority, as many more people spoke German or Hungarian. But the German element disappeared almost completely after the war, while the Hungarian minority is still represented, and there is schooling up to secondary level, and you, as a member of the Hungarian community, are completely bilingual. Your husband, who's also a translator, Peter Böserményi, as I mentioned, has a similar background, although he comes from Košice, another city with a linguistically mixed tradition. So you speak Hungarian at home and your daughters go to Hungarian schools. You now live in Budapest. So are you actually keeping up the bilingual tradition?
Well, it was like my grandparents and my dad, who was a wartime child, they were still trilingual. So, but this trilingualism, it showed descending tendency somehow, you know. We only got two languages out of it. My trilingual father's children, we grew up as bilingual. He tried to push this also German on us, but didn't really succeed. And this descending tendency just went further with my children. Since they went to school in Hungary, and from the very first year they studied German and English, afterwards Spanish and English, and now they are studying Hebrew and English in the school, so there's no space for another language. But one of them, Fanny, is still saying that after she takes her A-levels, she wants to start to study Slovak. She finds it important, and I'm very glad that that's how she takes it. But I'm the only one probably, and Peter, of course, who we didn't lose our tradition, even if it's kind of difficult sometimes, you know, because we live in a surroundings where we only speak one language, basically, now in Budapest. And it's very rare. It's a very rare occasion that I can speak to anyone, Slovak maybe, or maybe English, even if it's not part of my tradition. But the funny thing was that I've started to appreciate this heritage of mine, or this gift of getting two languages as a present from the very beginning of my life. When I just got out from these surroundings where I was practicing my two languages every day.
So let's move on to literature and to translation. So this multi-ethnic mix that we spoke about, that was once so characteristic of Slovakia, plays an important role in Pavol Rankov's novel Stalo sa 1. Septembra. It happened on the 1st of September. Was it this subject matter that attracted you to this book?
I know, it would sound just wonderfully and it would fit nicely if I'd say yes, but no, I simply like the book. I like the story, the characters, And yes, I like the mixed backgrounds too, but it wasn't while I've chosen it for the translation. When I first read it, I read it as a reader. I didn't have a clue that I'm going to be translating it. It was just at the very beginning of my career as a translator. When I went deeper in the text while working on it, I started to appreciate these mixed backgrounds, because it was really a challenge to put all these language mix, to set it in Hungarian, you know, because it was quite difficult. Because for a Slovak reader, for example, if he sees a Hungarian sentence in the Slovak text, you know, it's said in Hungarian. But I had to show it somehow to the Hungarian reader in a full Hungarian text that this special sentence in original was said in Hungarian. So it's just an example what kind of challenges I went through while translating this book.
So Ranko's book has received a number of international prizes, most recently the 2020 European Book Prize. And on that occasion, I talked to several translators of It Happened on the 1st of September, and you were one of them, and you told me this very amusing story from your daughter's school. So would you like to share it with our listeners?
Yeah. So it was about 2 years ago when I gave this book to my daughter, who was approximately 16 years old then, and she really loved it. She dragged it with her to school, and she was reading it in the breaks, and I suspect that even during the lessons. But then one of her teachers just spotted it in her hands, and he was absolutely like crazy with joy that he sees Fanny reading this, because he said, "Oh, this is my favorite book." And I was so surprised to hear it when Fanny got home with the story, because I didn't really think that somebody in his 30s and not connected in any way to the background of this book just walked into the bookstore and bought it and read it and loved it. But that's what happened, and he was very glad to hear that it's me who translated it, so his student's mother. And since he is teaching also on the Jewish University and gives this book, prescribes this book, or I don't know how you say, to his students every year as a compulsory reading, he invited me to have a discussion about it with his students.
So this is really wonderful and so gratifying to hear. It's probably what every translator dreams of, and especially since Ranko's book was your first book-length translation. And also a book that you translated into Hungarian, Samkotales Cemetery book by Daniela Kapitányová, happens to be the first book-length translation of mine into English. And Samkotale is still one of my favorites, because beneath its humorous surface lurks a very serious message, sharp critique of conformism, intolerance, and racism, especially of ethnic minorities. When you were translating Samkotale into Hungarian, I imagine that these issues must have resonated with you as well, since you have been actively involved in various activities in support of the Roma minority in Hungary. Can you talk a little bit about this, please?
Yes, it was in years 2008 and 2009, there was a series of attacks by a small neo-Nazi group against the Roma communities in Hungary, and there were several people wounded, and six of them even died, the youngest of them being just 5 years old. After these attacks happened, these families didn't really get much help from outside. So then small group of people formed who decided to help them. And this was the group I joined, I don't know, seven, 8 years ago. So we have together occasional brainstormings, we are doing some fundraising, and we are in touch with the families all the time. So kind of mentoring and direct help and whatever you can imagine under this. but the more important thing is that I'm happy that my daughters, so from them is not far away the idea of volunteering. They are involved at some level with the Amnesty International, and Flora, my younger daughter, is a really active activist of the Budapest Pride movement. They are organizing now the march, the Pride march.
Great, that's your daughters are following in your footsteps, and good luck with the Pride March, because in the current atmosphere that's not going to be easy. But let's return to literature now. At the Budapest Book Festival in 2016, when Slovak literature was the main guest of honor, about 40 books in Hungarian translation were presented there, and one of them was Medzerový plod, Foul Brood by Verona Sikulová, which you translated into Hungarian. And this book is absolutely full of local flavors and fragrances, which I think would be very, very difficult to translate into English. So can you tell us what it was like translating Sikulová's book?
You know, it was translating Medzerový plod, it was like translating anything else written by Verona Sikulová, because it's, although we are very different personalities, once I get on track, I have a feeling that the Hungarian text writes somehow itself. It is as if it is dictated to me. It doesn't mean, of course, that I don't face any problems. There's a lot of research to be done. I think you have also translated Verona Sikulová, and you know that. And in case of Miesta v sieti, for example, her other novel, there were like days I spent on the net researching, or I was consulting the author, and at least 7 different specialists, among them a Catholic priest, a winemaker, a local historian, you name it. And there's also, of course, a lot of thinking and rethinking of what you have written regarding the choice of synonyms, the order of words to reflect the author's objective and to catch the atmosphere. Which makes all of Sikulová's writing so special and unmistakable. So it's, you know, like when she writes even a Facebook post, right? It's, you know, after the first sentence that it's written by her. But it's still like such a special structure, or the old connections, the overlaps, which makes it so random, so Sikulová. And what was different with Medzerový plod? Though it was a topic, because you know, like many of us middle-aged people, we have lost a parent, some of us even 2, and so it's touching when you work on it or when you read it, but it's touching not in a sticky, mushy way, but in Verona style touching, and it really gets under your skin and remains with you for a while.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I only translated some excerpts from Foul Brood, but reading the book, and I read all of it, I was very, very moved, very personally, because when I read it, it was not long after my own mother died, and she has really captured those feelings so well. These are works of literary fiction mixed with autobiography. And you also have translated some books that are really based on that are not fictionalized. So one of them is Donbass, Svadobný apartman v hoteli Vojna, Donbass honeymoon suite in Hotel War, which he translated. It's a book by Tomáš Foro and depicts the war in Ukraine. Do you approach translation of nonfiction, such as this book, differently from fiction? And which kinds of books do you prefer to translate?
So, you know, the translation of nonfiction is different. Yeah, I'd say that for this kind of literature, you just need to be a good craftsman with all basic skills. Translating these documentary type nonfictions, as was Donbass by Tomáš Foro, which you mentioned, or Jana Juráňová's conversational memoir book about and with Agnieszka Kalinová, your mother, takes much more of the mentioned research, the above mentioned research, but it also needs much less inventiveness. So to translate the nonfiction books is a less savory thing. I definitely prefer fiction. On the other hand, nonfiction can be very exciting for me or interesting for me as a reader. But if I had to choose between a well-written nonfiction and a non-well-written fiction, then I'll go for the nonfiction, of course. Because to translate the bad text is a huge pain and takes much more time and energy.
One of your more recent translations, Nedelné šachy s Tisom, Playing Chess with Tiso by Sylvester Lavrík, is a bit of a hybrid. So it is a fictional story of a young girl with autism, which is a little bit like Samko Tale, but among the characters in the book, one of them is Josef Tiso, the president of the wartime Nazi-aligned Slovak state. And the book incorporates real speeches he gave and real newspaper articles he's written. So what kind of language did Tiso use, and did you find it difficult to translate?
Well, he is using, Lavrík is using in this excellent book, I think, slightly archaized language. Although I see Anička, this protagonist of this book, very different from Samko Tale's character, I had to figure out her language too, as I had to figure out Samko's language. But it was simpler in Anička's case, because Samko was much more special in his spoken and written language. In Anička's language, they were just hints of some archaisms. So, but you know, you have to equilibrate it always, because the final tune has to be authentic and consistent. That is very important during the translation of Kniha o cintoríne. We could talk about it with you actually about two more days. But first of all, you know, as I said, I had to find the tone of it and build up the whole language, which is very specific in Slovak. And it is a written language, so I have to pay attention. I had to pay attention to this special orthography and also be very strict with myself. And sometimes, even if it did hurt, I had to just delete some things which I found very funny, what I wrote there, but I felt that it's too much. So this discipline had to be there also, you know. What was the more difficult, probably, although it's not so simple to say after such a time, was the puns, the rhymes and the rhyming puns, and to find the good equivalent of the recurring motifs like bude popoťahovaný or no nie, no áno. And but some of the solutions I was thinking, like days and nights, and it just, whatever I did, it was just on my mind. And once I was in a pool, in the pool I was swimming, and one of these problems just went on my mind. And at the end of the land, I just got the idea, like while I was swimming, I just got the idea how to solve it. But I was so afraid that I will forget it by the time I just go out from the pool, that when I got to the end of the land, I called the pool attendant, I think you called Plavchik, and asked him to write it down mm-hmm. for me and hand it to me when I'm finished with the swimming. And so to keep it. And he did it for me, so this solution is definitely in the book.
That's wonderful. I also lived with Sam Kotala and his language for months and kept mulling over it and playing with various rhymes, also the names of the mushrooms, the invented mushroom names. But I have to say, I have not used the assistance of a pool attendant. That is, I think, quite a unique cooperation in translation.
I knew you will fully understand what I am talking about.
Yes, I love this. So to come back to the language of the narrator of Lavrík's book, Nedelné šachy s Tisom, could you say a few words about what was specific about her language?
Oh, okay. So it was a slightly archaized language. And I think Anička is the protagonist of Nedelné šachy s Tisom is very different from Sam Kotala, from the character of Sam Kotala. There still had to be built a language, and it was simpler than in the case of Samko. But also here, you know, I had to concentrate on not to overdo it. So somehow be very disciplined about how much I try to just push into this character or into her language. And I always had to keep in mind what was Sylvester Lavrík's intention with it, how he used the language. And there were sometimes just hints about how she speaks. So keep it as hints. And the final tune had to be authentic and consistent, which is very important with every character's language you build up. And you asked also about Tiso, and to translate his speeches was, I have to say, it was harder and much less fun than to build up Anička's language. I had to read some Hungarian wartime rhetoric pieces to make sure I'm getting the right tone there.
Yeah, but I think you made a really important point here about the musicality of the translation. That is a really, really key aspect, especially in books like these with the special narrators. So we're coming slowly to the end. I just wanted to ask you about the translator residency in Banská Štiavnica, the last two books that you worked on. You were there for a month, and could you just say a little bit about what the facilities was like, whether you found the place conducive to your work, and whether you would recommend this residency to other translators?
So I think that the residencies, not just this one, all the residencies are just wonderful things, because you can step out from your own life, you can just be alone with your work and with yourself, which is also very important. You can leave your everyday life behind. And to be on a residency in Banská Štiavnica is even more like that, because the beautiful surroundings you have around you is just an extra gift you get from life and from a literary information center of Slovakia. This is a small flat with all the basic comfort you can just need, and this small flat is within an old building in the city center. So if you step out from the door, you are in the middle of history. And if you walk up 10 minutes, you are in the middle of the woods. What else can one need for a good residency? So if you are there and you have all this inner and outside comfort for yourself, it can be really fruitful. So I would definitely recommend it to every translator.
Have a fantastic endorsement here for the Banská Štiavnica, the Trojica residency. And just before we finish, could you tell us what you're working on now and or what is your next project?
During my stay in Banská Štiavnica, I was partly working on Katarína Kucbelová's Čepiec, and I finished it since then. Then I moved now to Czech literature, and I'm working on Dora Kapralová's Ostrovy. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this year it will be Sylvester Lavrík's next novel, A Posledná Countka Baronka, and Peter Mačovský's poetry. So these are the plans, the last two.
Well, I can see you're keeping busy. I hope that the work doesn't dry up. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And good luck to you, and best regards to your daughters and to your husband, Peter.
Thank you, and best regards to your husband, Peter.
Bye.
Bye.